It is a joy to be able to share the Word of God with you tonight. In the absence of our pastor and his family who are on vacation, let's remember to pray for them. I hope you are excited about Pastor's recent series of messages, as I am. I just have to tell you that in my analysis, and I guess I'm too much analyzing things, I go down to Honduras and to Mexico, and I go to these Bible institutes, and I teach these students and write materials for them and that type of thing, and we give them exams, and when they speak, I'm sitting out there listening to what they're saying and analyzing it. And I do that wherever I go. If I'm off visiting somewhere and listening to another preacher, I analyze what he's saying, and I sort of mentally give him a grade. I want to tell you, I've been giving our pastor high marks on his preaching lately. Now, this is something that you need to plug into, because what he's dealing with now in 1 Corinthians is some of the most basic, where the rubber meets the road type of stuff. It is so geared to building disciples. And make yourself available to being built up as a disciple, and take advantage of these. Don't miss a service, but come praying. And let's all pray that God will help us to not just be occasional participants in the throne of grace, but we'll be consistent. We'll just come there and park and just stay and be very, very faithful. There's power in the Christian life. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in prayer. We know that. So let's live up to it. Amen? And not only that, but as Pastor is preparing his messages, and here again I analyze, he doesn't just get up here and speak off the cuff. He's got page after page after page, and I for one know what goes into that, looking up scriptures and comparing passage with passage, and this is so good. I mean, I don't know that our church is short on anything, but we're certainly not short on leadership, and we need to pray for our leader and stand behind him and encourage him in every way that we possibly can, and appreciate what God is giving to us through his ministry. And this valley needs that. The tri-state area needs that. The world needs for Tiftonia Baptist Church to be a powerhouse for God. And that leads me to my subject tonight. I want to speak to you tonight, trusting the Lord for help, on the urgency of our mission. We're running out of time. The urgency of our mission. And you don't have to be 81 years of age to know that we're running out of time. Whatever we're going to do for God, we better lay some other things aside and get with it. And that's what we want to talk about tonight. Now, I have a very short message. Just a few comments will be the main thrust of the message. However, there is an introduction that will lead up to those few comments. And you pray for me and I'll pray for you. Our Father, we pray that the sweet Spirit of God would anoint us and help us to teach and to preach in such a way as to bring honor and glory to your name. We thank you for our pastor. We thank you for our church. We thank you for every member. I pray, Heavenly Father, that tonight that you will meet with us and help us to be aware of your presence. We'll be thankful for it, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The urgency of our mission. we're running out of time. And there are two passages of scripture that I would like for you to read with me. One is in the 9th chapter of the book of Romans, and we'll read there and talk about those verses first, and then we'll go to Acts chapter 15 and read a few verses and talk about those verses. And that will cover our introduction to what we're talking about tonight. Romans chapter 9, verse 27. Esaias, and of course that is the name Isaiah, also crieth concerning Israel. I've just finished reading through the book of Isaiah in my personal devotional daily Bible reading. My, what an experience this man had with God. What a burden he had. What vision he had. What revelation God gave to him. One of those great books of the Bible that give us the great prophecies. He crieth concerning Israel. This means that he simply lifted up his voice and he spoke loudly. May I say that there is really a basic difference in teaching and preaching. Preaching is to the unsaved, whereby we go out and we proclaim the gospel. Teaching is for the saved, whereby they are built up in their discipleship. So Isaiah was crying out. Isaiah said, he also crieth concerning Israel, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Now let me review that verse with an interpretive purpose, not to retranslate the scriptures. I'm fully satisfied with the King James. This is the only translation that I am fully satisfied with. But it says here, though the number of the children of Israel be as the sand of the sea, a remnant shall be saved. Interpret that like this. Even though the children of Israel is a large nation as far as numbers of people down through the generations, in spite of that fact, only a small remnant shall be saved. I trust that you are pro-Israel. Anybody who loves the Word of God and reads the Word of God and finds that God teaches us so much through the nation of Israel, and the key to prophecy and understanding future events is the nation of Israel. But yet, I'm afraid that in our generation, there are so many who are so pro-Israel until they negate the responsibility that they have before God. I know of one pastor out in Texas who seems to think that Jews today don't have to be converted. Just being a Jew is all that they need to be. Oh no. My dear friend, Jewish people who do not know Christ as their Messiah are lost without God and without hope and will spend eternity in hell, and it does not matter that Abraham was their father. So it says so very clearly here, though they be as the sand of the sea, large in number, a remnant, a small number, shall be saved. Now verse 28, we continue reading, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. We'll come back to this verse in just a moment. I'm speaking on the urgency of our mission. And this is one of the key verses to the thoughts that we're sharing tonight. We read on in verse number 29. And as Esaias said before, except the Lord of Sabaoth had left us a seed, we had been as Sodom, and been made like unto Gomorrah. As a matter of fact, in the book of Revelation, one of the verses tells us that a future name of Jerusalem is going to be Sodom and Gomorrah. If there has not already been, there is going to be an even greater falling away and turning away from God by the nation of Israel before they're finally coming back. And let us not be overtaken with the idea that, well, they have returned to the land. But yes, they have returned in unbelief, and they will not be able to keep that piece of real estate that they now have. At least the Lord said in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew that they are to flee. Let him that is in the housetop not come down, let him flee. He that is in the field not return to the house, let him flee. There is going to come a time when the nation of Israel, though they have returned to their land, is going to flee. And remember that the Bible tells us in the book of Luke that in chapter 21, that Jerusalem will be trodden of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. It grieves me when I see a photograph of the city of Jerusalem. And there on the Temple Mount is this huge Islamic mosque. And all that it stands for and represents. It even sort of angers me. It disturbs me. But wait. I need to be reminded that Jerusalem will be trodden of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. There is Bible terminology that we need to be aware of, we need to think about. I trust that you know the difference between the times of the Gentiles and the fullness of the Gentiles. When we get into theology, there is a lot of terminology that is man-made, and we argue about those things. But there is some terminology that is given directly by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is part of the Word of God, and we must take note of that. The times of the Gentiles, Luke 21, verse 24, has to do with the Gentile world powers. And the fact that these world Gentile powers will dominate the world scene because Israel lost their kingdom through sin and disobedience. See the prophet Daniel. A study of Daniel will give you a clear understanding of what the times of the Gentiles are. But then there is the fullness of the Gentiles, and we'll deal a little bit more with this in just a moment. But the fullness of the Gentiles, Romans chapter 11, verse 25, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." I hope to explain what that means in just a moment when it comes in line of the outline that we're dealing with. But then in verse 30, it says, "What shall we say then?" I'm reading from Romans chapter 9, verse 30. "What shall we say then? That the Gentiles, which followed not after righteousness, have attained unto righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, which followed after the law of righteousness, hath not attained to the law of righteousness. Wherefore, because they sought it not by faith, but as it were, by the works of the law, for they stumbled at that stumbling stone." I know of a religious denomination, and there are many of their so-called churches around in this area, who believe that they are to keep the law of the Old Testament so strongly they don't even go to church on Sunday. They have chosen to go to church on the Sabbath, which is Saturday. Has it never occurred to them that if even Israel could not keep the law, what makes them think that they could keep the law? But even if they could keep the law, they would still be lost. Because God has designed that it is by grace and not by law keeping that we're saved and go to heaven. But we notice here in verse 28, for he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord do upon the earth. The God of all eternity, who is not pressed for time, has made a sovereign choice that the activities of his purpose for this world will be brief. And what are those purposes? The purpose for planet Earth and all the activities that are related is to save some Jews and some Gentiles from sin, death, and hell unto righteousness, life, and heaven. Would you please turn at this time to the book of Acts, chapter number 15. Acts, chapter number 15, verse 13. And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simeon, that's Simon Peter, hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. Simon Peter had given the account of how he had gone down then to the home of Cornelius and how God had used his ministry to enlighten their eyes and they came to know Christ as Savior. The wonderful thing about the program of God in salvation is the fact that he has chosen the nation of Israel, that in thee, he said to Abraham, all families of the earth shall be blessed. God intends to save not only Jews, he intends to save Gentiles as well. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, said the Apostle Paul, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, they had the first opportunity, and also to the Greek. Simeon hath declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets, as it is written, after this. There's not one word too many, not one word too few in the precious word of God. So notice he's speaking very specifically concerning a timeline here. He said, after this. After what? After God has visited the Gentiles and called out of them a people for his name. After this, I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David, which is fallen down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. God's word is hated. God's Christ is hated. Even in our freedom-loving nation, the United States of America, today. But it is a wonderful thing to know that there is coming a day when the knowledge of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. That's from Isaiah. Isn't that a beautiful statement? Oh, let us not become too dismayed about what's going on in our nation and in our world. There's a great and wonderful thing that is coming. The Lord Jesus, who was rejected and cast out, and who has gone back to heaven, is going to come back again. And this will happen after God has visited the Gentiles and called out from them a people for his name. He will come back and build again the tabernacle of David. It is as if the train of Israel is now parked on the sidetrack. And Gentile salvation is running on the main line. Well, that's going to be over very soon. And then God is going to bring the train of Israel back on to the main track. Even though so sadly, there will only be a remnant of them that will survive the tribulation period. The book of Zechariah tells us that 2/3 will die, and only 1/3 of the Israelites will survive from the time of Jacob's trouble. But think about this now. All of this, notice verse 18. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. It was pre-planned. God is not taken by surprise at anything that happens. He knows it all before it ever happens. Known unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world. Unbelieving and secular scientists, so-called scientists, reject God's account of origins from Genesis chapter 1. But what about God's account of terminations? The same God who began everything will end it according to his plan. Secular scientists who do not believe the real God have made their own God of science, so-called. And our government has forced our educational system to bow down to the God of science while telling our school children they cannot pray to the real God. The theory of evolution is not true science. There are problems with it whereby it will never be proven as true science. Even if you leave the Bible out of the equation and take the theory of evolution purely on a scientific basis, it will never measure up. No wonder that socialism is growing rapidly in America when our government has adopted Marxist anti-God principles and did so a long time ago. Now think of these two verses. One from Romans 9:28, where the book says, he will finish the work and cut it short in righteousness, because a short work will the Lord make upon the earth. My message tonight is the urgency of our mission. We're running out of time. Here's part of the biblical proof. A short work will the Lord make upon the earth. Just think about it. So far, we can account for only 7,000 years of earth's existence. To date, 6,000 years is history, plus 1,000 years in the future when Christ will return and set up his millennial reign. But think about it like this. I like to use the first week of creation, 6 days of creation and 1 day of rest. I like to use that week as an illustration of what we have in history and the next 1,000 coming up with the Lord Jesus ruling and reigning. Psalm 90 in verse 4 says, for 1,000 years in thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. 2 Peter 3:8 says, one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, 4,000 years from creation week unto the death, resurrection, and ascension of Christ is all history. Since then, 2,000 years of history brings us a total of 6,000 years. The total history of planet Earth is 6,000 years. Do not believe what the scientists so-called are telling us, that all of this creation took billions and billions of years. They have no evidence of that, none whatsoever. So if we're going to consider that 1,000 years with the Lord is as one day, and one day is as 1,000 years, then there are some other prophetic passages in the Old Testament that need to come into view for our consideration. I know we all have our favorite text, don't we? And we read these texts over and over and over. There's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, there's something good with that. However, I do think it would do us good if we would branch out and find other passages of Scripture. There are over 31,000 in our King James Bible. And these other passages that we find are not going to contradict anything that we already know, but they will confirm and reassure us of what God is saying in the precious Word of God. Would you turn with me in your Bible, please, to the book of Hosea? The book of Hosea, chapter 5. And verse number 15, the Lord Jesus is actually speaking here because he is speaking in the first person. Now we know prophetically from the Old Testament, and we know from the standpoint of fulfillment in the New Testament, that the Lord Jesus was going to come, be rejected by his own people, and die by crucifixion, arise from the grave, and ascend back to heaven. That happened 2,000 years ago. Hosea chapter 5 and verse 15, the Lord speaks this prophetically. He says, I will go and return to my place till, notice that little word, T-I-L-L, and sometimes we spell it with U-N before it. Until. Until they acknowledge their offense. What was their offense? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. Israel is not doing that today. As a nation, they have returned to the homeland, but in unbelief, they still reject Christ as their Messiah. But, he says, in their affliction, and that's the tribulation period, in their affliction, they will seek me early. They don't know what's in store for them, but this is what is going to happen. He says, I will go and return to my place. Listen to Psalm 110, verse 1. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until, there's that great word again, until I make thine enemies thy footstool. Oh, how wonderful it is to see the great promise that God has given in His precious word. What a glorious future we have. We shouldn't be dismayed with our everyday maladies. We have a glorious future. I know that I'm not the only one that sees this. Could it be that because of my advanced age, I'm just hanging on to it more firmly? But oh, dear friends, let's recognize how precious is the Word of God. The Lord Jesus was rejected. He knew that that would be. I will go and return to my place until they acknowledge their offense and seek my face. In their affliction, they will seek me early. But wait a minute, it doesn't stop there. Just come on down, chapter 6, verse 1. Now Israel is speaking prophetically. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. They're not there yet. This is still going to be. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. What a wonderful decision. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us up. Now notice, after 2 days. Now what does the Bible say in 2 Peter 3:8? One day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. After 2 days, He will revive us. How long has it been since Israel rejected their Messiah? It's been 2 days. It's been 2,000 years. A day is with the Lord as 1,000 years. It's been 2 days. After 2 days, will He revive us? In the third day. What is that last day? The 1,000-year reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the third day, He will raise us up, and we shall live in His sight. I hope that you don't sin against your own heart and mind and conscience by being disturbed at what you read about the Middle East and Iran and all of the enemies that are around about Israel. Because they're not in control. The Lord is in charge of Israel. And the Lord has to deal with Israel because of their rejection of Christ. And He will do that during the time of Jacob's trouble, the 7 years of tribulation period, during which they will come back to Him. After 2 days, will He revive us? In the third day, will He raise us up? And we shall live in His sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, His going forth is prepared as the morning, and He shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. There was a day when the nation of Israel was a blessing to the earth, and in a sense still is. But there's coming a day when their return to the Lord is going to be extremely wonderful. So therefore, since the nation of Israel is the key to understanding God's timeline of prophecy, where are we now on this timeline? And what should we do or be doing as Tiftonia Baptist Church? Now, we've had the introduction, so now comes the short message. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 16, Paul said to the Corinthians that his purpose was to preach the gospel in the regions beyond you. Our work is never done as long as unevangelized regions remain. We need to have the proper concept as a missionary-minded Baptist church. Our concept should be not that we are paying professional missionaries to do their work. No. Rather, our concept should be that we are enabling them to assist us in doing our work. The evangelization of the world is not the responsibility of the missionaries. The evangelization of the world is the responsibility of Tiftonia Baptist Church. And let us never forget that our work begins in our Jerusalem. I cannot pay somebody else to do my praying. I cannot pay someone else to do my witnessing. I cannot pay someone else to be faithful to God in my place. As members of a true scriptural church of the Lord Jesus Christ, and may I say that it is the Lord's churches, not some nonprofit organization somewhere. It is the Lord's local congregations, true churches, and not all churches are true scriptural churches today, of course. But it is our responsibility to carry the gospel. And it begins not in the Philippines, not in Africa, not in South America. It begins right here in the valley. I do trust that you will pray for me. God willing, I will be leaving in 2 weeks. From today, making a trip down to a special region beyond that God has laid on my heart. This trip that I'm going to be making is a mission of Tiftonia Baptist Church, as well as it is a mission of all other churches that support Judy Sexton and me as your missionaries. We are a team, and you are a vital part of that team. The Word of God tells us that we are to do two things at one time. We are to lengthen the cords and strengthen the stakes. Years ago, I did tent work, and when a rain came and those ropes got wet, they would contract and pull the stakes out of the ground. I remember one night in northern Pennsylvania, I was just a kid, and I was sleeping in the tent because Hurricane Audrey had come all the way up from the coast to Pennsylvania. And I spent the night with a sledgehammer resetting those stakes all around that tent. If the stakes all pulled up, then the tent is going to come down. The stake is the local church. And the cord is the missionary outreach. We must have lengthened cords in order to reach to the regions beyond. But we must never forget that we have to strengthen the stakes of a local church. I told you I had a short message, and I told you also that I had a long introduction. But I've had fun tonight. I hope that somehow you've gotten somewhat of a blessing. Thank you for listening. Brother Don, would you come and close us, please?